The unpardonable, or as some would call it, the unforgivable sin. Many people are concerned about this, and rightfully so, because there is a sin unto death. I mean, you commit it, and you just scratched yourself out of the book of life, never to go back again. No possibility. And needless to say, this brings about a great deal of consternation in many people, especially if they don't know what that sin is. And it's rightfully so. I can understand it. So it's imperative that we understand that sin. Now, first of all, how is it in the Scriptures? The unforgivable sin. What does the mean? The indicates, though sin can be singular or plural. When you place the before it, you're only talking about one, no more, no less. So it's really quite simple then, isn't it? All we have to do is identify one specific sin to know what the unforgivable sin is. And what is really sad is that very few people are even accountable for the unforgivable sin. And therefore, so much, so often, needless worry goes forth. And I suppose it's good in some ways, you know, that we be concerned about trying harder to please God, for indeed we should. And there is one person I'm going to dedicate this to, unnamed, but one person that caused me to think on this for a long, long time. And finally it comes, that time. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the first epistle of John. Not St. John, but the first epistle of John. The first of the three, just before the book of Jude, right before Revelation. I want to go to the fifth chapter. Chapter 5, and just coming out the gate here, we're going to have to do a little bit of correcting to the Scriptures. Those of you with companion Bibles, I believe that it tells you what has been added to this, the 7th and 8th verse, and we're going to read it with only that is in the original text. Therefore, to do that without teaching a Bible class on the scribeship here, in verse 7 of the 5th chapter, we will stop reading at the first comma, and we will pick up at the first comma in verse 8. We will begin again reading at the first comma in verse 8. All that in between those commas has been added by man. It's not in the manuscripts. So let's begin reading there with the unpardonable sin in mind. Verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Skip to the first comma in verse 8. The Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. There's one thing you must... All God's Word is in total agreement. There are no holes. There are no flaws. And that is unless man places them there. All these three, life, resurrection, and death, they all agree in one. And there is the sin itself that we will be addressing certainly involves with these three, but yet they agree in one. Verse 9, may we continue. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. You can receive the witness of men and big deal. You know, you can either count on it or put it to one side. It's no big deal. You have some learned men, you have some teachers, but you're going to have to evaluate that is of man. But God's witness is greater. And you can trust that witness, therefore you must spend your effort in understanding that witness. God's witness is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Now, I want to lay just a little groundwork there. What is God's witness? God's witness is this word that Jesus Christ brought, His Gospels and the Ruach, the Holy Spirit that moved upon man. God has chosen certain people that are a part of that witness. That is why God's witness cannot be altered. And you alter that and or refuse that witness, and it is unpardonable. Now, don't get nervous on me. We're going to explain it out in detail, but I want you to mark that word. The witness of God is greater because you can count on it. And does He have any less right that if He chooses a person to carry a very extreme and important witness forth, especially in the end times, like even when instead of Jesus is on this earth, that He should expect anything from you but obedience, that you would allow that witness to come forth? He expects it, and He expects it 100%, as we will discover. Verse 10, He that believeth on the Son of God. Now, we have a qualification there. He that believeth, that, what does that mean? That means he or she that believes that Jesus Christ, born of Mary, was truly the Son of God. No more, no less. That's exactly what it means. That when you speak of Yeshua Jesus, you're talking about the Son of God. If you believe that, then indeed you are a believer and you fall within this category. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in. In what? In himself. No gender. What does that mean? Well, the Holy Spirit is in you, dear one. The Holy Spirit is in you. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Made who a liar? God. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Do you know what? That's not the unforgivable sin. Anybody can refuse Christ as having been the Son of God, because that was the flesh. That's not the Spirit. That's refusing Christ's flesh as the flesh of the Son of God. That is not the unforgivable sin. But they still make God a liar when they do it. And they will not overcome in this earth age. In the millennium, yes, perhaps. And this is the record. This is exactly how it is. This is the record. You can set it down. You can count on it. That God hath given to us, us who? Us that believe, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. That's the root. You either must believe or you're not going to make it. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What do you have instead of life? Death. Death. In other words, ultimately, even those that would refuse him in this earth age must accept him in the millennium, or they are gone. All right? That's still not the unpardonable sin, because they commit it in the flesh. In ignorance, they'll still be taught in the millennium. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Who are these addressed to? Makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? You that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, that you don't have to worry about committing a sin that will bring you death, for you already have eternal life. So as far as you're concerned, the unpardonable sin basically doesn't exist. It's out of the realm of your reasoning, because you have understanding of it. You know what it is, and you know there is not one possibility in this world that you would ever commit it. And he continues, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. You can hang it all out there on him. that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. He did not say, you're going to get it. He says, He hears you. Because it may be something, you're a child, you understand? I don't care how old you are, you're a child, and you may ask for something that'll hurt you. You may ask for something your father doesn't want you to have because he knows that you'll hurt yourself with it, or that you might get haughty because of it. Like the fellow that prayed for 29 Rolls Royces, you know, and got them. Okay. Oh, well, be that as it may. 15. If we know that he hear us, that you can rest assured of. That's his promise. He hears every word. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, did it say you had the article, the substance? That's not what it said. It said you had your petition. In other words, your petition that you put forth was received in his hand. Now, a lot of people teach, oh, God, your word states that, you know, if I ask for this. They don't understand our Father's word. All he said, I promise you God will hear it. If God wants you to have it, he has your petition, he knows your reasons, and if it's something you're going to utilize in furthering his work, the witness, you'll probably get it. He's never turned me down very few times. If we need a transmitter, if we need something else, I assure you when we petition him, if we really need it, we're going to get it. We will have it. I believe that just as sure as if it materialized right there. Well, that would shake me up a little bit, but you know you know what I mean. He's going to make it possible. He expects us to use common sense, and he is a God of common sense, all right? Okay, I imagine that we would all move back considerably. All right, verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. In other words, you can intercede for one of your relatives. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. In other words, if you know somebody that has committed the sin unto death, you're wasting your time if you do pray for them. Because that's it. They're cut off. Who cut them off? God cut them off, and there's nothing you can do about it. Therefore, it is important that you know what is this unforgivable sin. What is it that if I see one of my brothers doing, I might as well just stop praying for them and for they're finished. 17. All unrighteousness is sin. What is unrighteousness? It's transgression of God's word to go at it wrongly. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, this throws a lot of people because there's not a one of you in here that doesn't sin at one time or the other. But that's not what sin we're talking about here. Let's read it a little different. We know that whosoever is born of God is not an habitual sinner. In other words, an habitual one is one that sins, doesn't intend to change, doesn't try to do better, doesn't grow from experience, is just a no-good Nick. All right? That's an habitual sinner. But we're all going to fall short. And that puts a lot of Christians on guilt trips that, unfortunately, make most of them throw their hands up and leave the study group they're studying with and God's Word because they don't feel they have a prayer. It's simply because they won't want be patient with God's word and attempt to understand it. We're all sinners, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now you're getting down pretty close to where the rubber meets the road here. Who is the wicked one? Well, that's Satan. If you keep the word of God and have his witness within you, he won't let the wicked one touch you. Well, when is the what is this touch? Remember that word touch from the garden? He's got to be there to touch you, friend. Of course, the little old evil spirits can hunker around. But we're talking about the wicked one that is locked in heaven now. These words, taking them into your mind and believing upon them, will prevent the wicked one from touching you mentally, physically, and or otherwise. You see where the rubber meets the road? We're talking about Antichrist deceiving you. All right? That's the unforgivable sin. Or that's the leading to it. It's not the sin. But if you believe this, if you hang on to it, the wicked one cannot touch you when? There's a time clause here. When he comes. When he's here. When he is where we are, for we certainly cannot go where he is, lest we die at the moment. But always remember Revelation 12:7. He's coming. He's going to be cast out into this earth. Okay. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. What do they lieth in at this moment that we're talking of? The bosom of Satan. As he comes as Christ, the whole world will lie in his bosom thinking he is Christ. Again, this is where the rubber meets the road, friend. And this is where you either believe or you don't, and then you're beginning to go, you're growing very close to the unforgivable sin. That is to say, the explanation thereof. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. Do you know when the false Son comes? We know that the real Son comes only, is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. You're going to know the true one from the fake? And we are in him that is true. How? Through that Spirit we read of, the three that agree in one, the Spirit, the water, the baptism. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, all three agreeing in this one. This is the true God. There's no other, not Antichrist, not the wicked one, and eternal life. If you have eternal life, you certainly have not committed the unpardonable sin, because if you commit it, you're going to die. Period. No ifs, no ands. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself, better translated, from apostasy. From taking part in that great apostasy. So we could ask ourselves, and the reason I wanted to share those particular verses with you, is there an unpardonable sin? You bet there is. There is a sin unto death. We just read it. And if one of your brothers commits it, you can just, if it's your mate even, you just write them off. They're gone. There's nothing you can do about it unless you want to go with them, and you don't. All right? We'll find you a new one. That's to say Christ. All right? Everybody's comfortable? Okay. A new mate, a new husband, which is to say Christ, for all of us. How precious his word. And do you know something? Did you know we read that word that he gives you understanding? An understanding, if you will study his word, that you don't have to be nervous about things like this, that many others would be and are concerned about. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And let's pursue, if we may, just a little further, the unpardonable, the unforgivable sin. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all. Was he talking to that multitude? No, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all. Beware, ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He told you in another place that it is the doctrine, basically, of the devil. You listen to the doctrine of the devil, and you're going to worship him. All right? That's what Jesus is saying. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Through God's understanding, ultimately, all things shall be made known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light. No, people will start shaking in their boots, and they wonder, well, I told that little joke one day, and that's going to be, God's going to say, he told about the three pigs. You know, he told that story. That's not what he's talking about. We're talking about the sin and the death, ultimately, here, all right? People equate nonsense in relationship to those important things that have to do with your eternal life, rather lightly at times. It's called guilt-itis. Christians have it, you know. Every Christian wants to be perfect. It's too bad they can't. It really is real sad, because it would make a bunch of them so happy, so very happy, if they could just be perfect. But you can't be. Okay. There's nothing going to be, it's going to be heard, it's going to be brought to light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Look at it a little bit differently. That you know is truth and nobody will listen to, concerning this doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is Satan's doctrine. That you have prayed about in your closet and have tried to put the word out, it's going to be released from the housetops. God will speak through certain people that are witnesses. That word we tried to bear some weight upon back in the Epistle of John. God's witness. He chooses people. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. You know what that is? That's your flesh. And after that, have no more they can do. They can't do a thing about your soul. They could tattoo you 666 from your little pinky to the very last little wigwam on your head. And it has nothing to do whatsoever with your spiritual soul. It's what's in your gray matter that determines the outcome of your soul. But I will forewarn you. Hey, this is Jesus talking to you from his word. I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Now, the word in the Greek is Gehenna, which means the burning pile. All right? Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That means your soul. Are not five sparrows sold? I mean, I imagine that Jesus could feel people getting up a little tight, so he reassures them. Are not five sparrows sold for two fluffins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Not even a little old sparrow. Which means, certainly, if he knows what they are. They were the lowest price item on the commercial market. All right, you could get 10 of them for a penny. And I've seen times I didn't think they were even worth that, you know. Especially around my Martin houses. But be that as it may. In other words, you don't have to worry about God. If you petition him, he heard you. He knows your pain. He knows your anguish. He hears you. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Relax. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. In God's eye, you're his child. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men. What is that confess? That means to witness, right? Him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Remember back before, the whole world is in the bosom of the wicked one. God has called out certain champions of his people. That has been said in the closet that no one would listen will have an opportunity to profess and confess from the housetop. 9, let's go back to the unpardonable sin. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Do you understand what that means? There is a time coming when we're going to appear at Christ's judgment seat. If Christ denies you there, you got problems. That means you didn't make it. And if you are one of God's first fruits, if you were to know the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you're not blind, friend. You've got eyes to see. So you cannot claim that ignorance as a cloak of innocency. You know the difference. And you better not deny God and take on the fake. That is to say, worship the wicked one. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. What does that mean? If you speak against Christ, flesh, body, if you wanted to deny that he was born of a virgin birth, hey, that's forgivable. That's forgivable. What are you talking about? Well, there's still the millennium. Don't forget it. And for what is taught about Christ in the flesh, I can understand why a lot of people have kind of sidestepped and went the other way. Unfortunately, I can. I really can. They tell you that he wears red long handles and has a pitchfork, and if you don't do just right, he's going to throw you in the fire. That's Jesus, all right? God's going to burn you. He's going to cast you in there. Hey, that's heavy stuff. That's just not true. And that's why many people are driven away from the church, because they use saddle soap on the poor people's backs, and then they stroke them and everything else. But ultimately, that practice of Malcolm to burn your own children is what is taught. Unfortunately, it's true. You know it. You've heard it. Fire, hail, and brimstone brought down on the children of God. You can get away with denying Jesus in the flesh. Now let's go to the unpardonable sin. I want to rush to add for a while. All right, you still have to accept him by the end of the millennium, or you'll go on that same garbage heap. But you won't have any doubt about knowing who he was when you make that decision, if you wait till the millennium. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. It's unforgivable. Well, what are we talking about? You can deny, dear one, that Jesus Christ was the virgin birth. Therefore, Christ is not in you. And you're not taught. You're blind. You don't have eyes to see. So you're not accountable, in a sense, until the time of the millennium. But if you have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, better translated, the pneuma, the ruach, pneuma Greek, ruach the Hebrew, within you, meaning the Spirit of Christ, listen to me closely. Wake up for me. After the blood was shed, that makes the difference. You can sin against Christ as a flesh man, but you cannot sin against the shed blood, knowing better, and live. Which is to say what? The shed blood, what office followed that? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You have been instructed over and over throughout God's Word. The Holy Spirit in you wants to witness through you. And if you deny Him, you are denying the shed blood of Christ, and you know it was His blood, an opportunity of speaking through you that will not be forgiven. Number one. Well, that sounds a little heavy for God to do that. No. Their spirit, their soul is eternal. Therefore, if Christ has chosen you as a champion of the people and wishes to speak through you at that time that you're not to even premeditate what you will say beforehand, but the Spirit that speaks through you, that comes out in that tongue spoken on Pentecost Day, which means it's clearly understood in every language around this world, they will not need interpreters. And God's word shall be delivered. If you refuse God that opportunity to speak through you when you know that that's His plan, there's no forgiveness for that, and I don't blame Him. I personally do not believe it's possible. I do not believe it will happen. I don't see how it can. First of all, before you partake of something, it's got to be tempting. You've got to have some soothe talker or slick talker that has really given you a bill of goods and talked you into something. And Satan is all of that. With the exception of one thing, you know who he is, and there will never be a point in time and or has been in history that he's tempting to you. I used a very graphic illustration at Tulsa that really brings it down to where we are. You're just not the type of person that can be eating 100% pure vanilla ice cream made with real cream and find a dead mouse in it and be tempted by it. It's going to turn you off. Well, don't you realize when you see, when you have Christ in you and the Holy Spirit, and you see that man cast from heaven and what he is doing to your brothers and sisters, do you think for one moment it is possible that you could have a moment of weakness at that? No, I know what you're doing. You're going to be just like an old draft horse with the tugs, and those tugs are going to be snapping and popping, and you're going to be fighting to get at him so that Christ can speak through you. That's how tempting he will be. You will want to witness against Satan because of what he's doing to your brothers and sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your neighbors, and that God has saw or has seen fit to trust you. Absolutely you, to trust you. So you see, you can't get away. Do you blame him? If you were to deny him at that time, how could he ever count on you? Anybody that wouldn't even, he died on the cross for your brothers, your sisters, and you wouldn't even lift a hand and let him speak through your voice. You wouldn't deserve it, right? You know that. No one would deserve a chance after that. You're finished. It's over. All right? Let's document the fact that all the words I have read into this are true. Okay? Verse 10, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, that's into what synagogues? Satan's synagogues, those synagogues written of in Revelation 2:9, that you would be delivered up to and you will have trial. There is no mistake. You cannot be delivered up to a synagogue of Satan until it's established. It is not established yet. That's why when you hear someone say, I fear that I have committed the unforgivable sin. Impossible. Impossible. It's not time yet. And unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer. Why? It's not going to be you that speak. Or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour. Underline it in your mind, hour, what ye ought to say. What is that hour? That is the hour spoken of in Revelation chapter 17 that states, the 10 kings and rulers shall come to power only 1 hour with the son of perdition. What does perdition mean? A pile, which is to say what? It's Satan's time. Am I popping the speaker? I'm sorry. I'm anxious. I'm ready to witness. All right. Okay. I'll back away from it. Okay. That's the unforgivable sin in part. All right, with the audio department, all right? But when you're delivered up to witness for God, and you can read of it if you're new with our work in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. That's the whole purpose. Jesus was asked, what are these things that will happen just before you return? And he gave seven events, which are the seven seals. Drew them out in detail, explained them so clear that a child can understand them. One of them was that when you see the desolator standing in Jerusalem, Judea, flee, because that's when you're going to witness. Do not think beforehand what you'll say, nor premeditate, but speak that that is given to you. Now, some of you might say, well, I wish I could speak Greek. I wish I could speak Hebrew. You don't have to. You're going to speak every language in the world all at one time, because it won't be you speaking but Christ. And you know something? He knows just what to say. But he needs your help. And God help those if there should be one. And there isn't. And there might be someone that would be listening to this tape even say, well, I don't intend to put myself through that. Well, you don't know enough to be guilty of the unpardonable, or because you don't know what I'm talking about. And any sin committed in ignorance is no sin. You have to have the knowledge before you're accountable, in other words. I'll document that before we complete. He loves you, and he's saying, don't worry about anything in this world. There's only one thing you've got to worry about, and that's if you should even anticipate or consider committing the unpardonable sin, which is what? He documented himself when they deliver you up before the synagogues of Satan to refuse. That'll get it done for you, and your troubles will be just beginning. All right? Okay, that's Luke 12. Let's go to Matthew 12. Let's go to a sister gospel. Matthew chapter 12. And I want to begin with verse 31. Oops. Wherefore I say unto you, Jesus speaking again, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. All manner of it. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto them. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. An account almost of the same thing. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. It's unforgivable. I read that to anchor it into your mind. That don't think you'll have hope later on if you have the knowledge to commit the unpardonable sin. If you commit it, it's over. It's done. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the true tree is known by his fruit. If you are not intelligent enough to understand the manuscripts and or the King James, then at least be wise enough to test fruit. Is it of God or is it of Satan? So that you know who to allow to speak through you. What spirit? The evil spirit or the Holy Spirit? O generation of vipers, how can ye be being evil? That's to say, the offspring speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It's that easy to tell the false Christ from the good one, all right? But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's to say the false prophets that would teach knowing. There's a big difference now. Some preacher that's not under God's blessings, but at least teaches morals and so forth, God will appreciate that. But a false prophet means one teaching falsely, deliberately, bad fruit. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It comes back to the word. The unpardonable sin has to do with words. God's word. Whether he speaks words through you, or whether you deny him. All right, we're going to one more chapter, chapter 10, and then we're gonna close this. I want to pick it up with verse 16, and we're going to study just a little bit of Greek through this explanation, which is really a carbon copy almost, but I want you to be sure, because we're talking about something that is very final. Quite frankly, the reason I am concerned is you happen to be the people that could commit the unpardonable sin. You don't have to be worried about those that are blind to the truth of God's Word committing it. They can't. It's impossible. But you could. 16, behold, I send you forth. This is Jesus instructing the 12, the sent ones. You're a sent one also. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. Be wiser than that old wicked one. And harmless as doves. Don't be mixed up in violence. But beware of men, anthropos, good little old buddies, men. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Same thing, friend. Whose synagogue? Satan's. When he establishes them. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Translated nations. The word ethnos can be translated either nations or Gentiles. It means nations. Those that gather with Satan. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you will speak. I want you to note that every time the unpardonable sin is mentioned, this is related with it. Your witness and what you shall speak, not you, but the Holy Spirit. Do not deny the Holy Spirit to speak through you, or it is death. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. To face death. Who is death? Satan. A child that says, I'm a Jesus people. And Jesus is on earth now, and my parents say he's the false Christ, and the child goes to Satan and says, Jesus, forgive my parents. They think you're the devil. Or vice versa. But that's why. What's the purpose within that? So that you're delivered up for a witness. So that Christ can speak through you. So you can be a champion of the people. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Why will you be hated? Because you carry my name, the true name. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The witness shall not have been finished in the 5-month period until Christ returns and the two witnesses rise from the street. The disciple is not above his master. You know what that means? The student is not above his teacher. In other words, you don't know more than Christ does. Nor the servant above his Lord. That's to say, the slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple. That's to say, it is enough for the pupil that he be as his master, or that he become as his master. And the servant as his Lord, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, if they called you a follower of the false Christ, of Antichrist, how much more shall they call them of his household? In other words, they called Jesus Beelzebub. That's the prince of the dung fly hill, all right? Satan. If they call him Satan, they're certainly, after the false Christ appears, going to call you a follower of Satan. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be made known. Sound like repetition? It is. It's the same thought in all three Gospels. And inasmuch as it deals with that is unpardonable, I felt it necessary to cover. There's many more, but we're going to stop with this one. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. In other words, don't premeditate what you're going to say. You say what I tell you to. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. When the housetops was what? It was the usual way of conveying a message. They didn't have television at that time. They didn't have loudspeakers. You got up on the rooftop and you sang forth as the city crier would cry forth. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Friends, what happens to your soul when it's killed in hell? It doesn't exist anymore. It's turned to ashes. Fini. Are not two sparrows sold for a falcon? Here we go again. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father's knowledge, I add. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me. This is important. Listen for me. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess. Will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny, mark that word deny. You're going to learn what it means in Greek. But because whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. Do you know what sword? Revelation 1:16, his word. His tongue is a two-edged sword, and it cuts both ways. Do you want Christ to deny you before men? That seems like a nice little word. I deny you from picking that up, but I may change my mind in 15 minutes. That's not the word that's used there, friend. Probably the abnegate would be the best English word for it. But I want you to learn the Greek for it. The Greek is arneoahi. Arneomahi. Arneomahi. Now listen to me closely. Is to say no. Without object or subject. Now, the Greek is real good, see, because what that's really telling you, if I can say it better in English, is that's Christ telling you no without any answer or explanation. Just no. There will be no judgment for you. That's what it means. Just no. Without subject or object, without any explanation. You know why? You won't need one. If you were to commit the unpardonable sin, you wouldn't. You're the only person that phrase can fit, because you would have judged yourself already. So you see, that word deny is a very strong word. Don't forget it. Because you see, what time will you appear before God and the angels with Christ present? When the choice is being made, when the selection is being made. And when you step up, as all others are, being, well, Father, let's open this book, here is this record and here's that record, the book won't be open for that person. No, without subject or object, meaning no, without explanation, none is needed. He committed the unpardonable sin, and no one will ask. It will be finished. Do I think that anyone will ever commit it? No, I do not see how it could be possible. Now, for, I think in closing, there's one more verse comes to mind, and it's John chapter 9, I think it's verse 41. You need to know it, and I'm going to tell you why you need to know it, because there's going to be somebody come up and say, oh God, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin, and I'm going to hell, and it's all over. Just so I quoted exactly right, John, let me make sure I'm right here, 9:41. Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, underline it, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. If you are blind, which means what? If you don't have eyes to see, then there's no sin. So, if someone says, I've committed the unforgivable sin, explain to them the, makes it a singular, a specific sin, and ask them if they know what it is. Well, I'm not certain. Go to John 9:31, say, you're blind. So there is no sin. Forget it. You don't have anything to worry about. It takes someone that God has called and is quite qualified in God's Word to have the knowledge to even commit it. The others are blind. Blinded for a purpose, because God loves them to the point that He knows they could not stand. What does that mean then on your behalf? He knows you can. And He loves you very much for it. Let us go to His throne. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your written Word. We thank You for Your promises. We claim them, Father. We ask that You strengthen with love those that You call, those that You give eyes to see and ears to hear, to know Thy Word, to know they have nothing to fear of man, and only You Yourself if we are not obedient, Father. And Father, we look forward to that day when we will be able to witness for the sake, for Thy name's sake, and for our brethren that are sorely deceived in this world today's sake, Father. We look forward to it joyously. We just continue in our search for wisdom, Father, from Thy Word. Grant it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.